responded Dr. Fred Luchetti from, and what we've tried to do with these is to give different looks at how this can be done. So these were chosen to some degree, because all the programs are different in many ways. And unlike the ACGME tries, I think foolishly, but tries to make every residency sort of a cookie cutter kind of experience. This is not meant to be that. I think it should be anti-cookie cutter, where you have different kinds of experiences and whatnot. So finally, Fred's going to give also a very different experience in a very urban kind of setting. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Richardson, and thank you all for being here this morning. I am a man of few words, so I will be succinct with my presentation. I put the green arrow up here for you all. This is Loyola University Medical Center is 1 mile west of the corporate line in Chicago. So this view is facing west. And in the foreground here, you can see the Loyola University Medical Center. The higher white building right here is actually where I've been. Steady down there, Fred. That's the Heinz VA, where Dr. Sachdev actually comes out and works one Tuesday afternoon a week in clinic. So he actually works for me, folks. And then the last thing I want to show you, the geography, is right over in this area is a hospital I'm going to talk about, which is integral to our Mastery in General Surgery program. That's the Gottlieb Memorial Hospital. I have nothing to disclose financially. I have to tell the audience that I've known Dr. Richardson for 30-some years. When my third-year clerkship at the University of Louisville in medical school, he was the first professor I started on surgery. He was a visionary then, he's a visionary today. I have to tell you, my wife recently pestered me, you gotta do this ancestry DNA stuff. So one morning I woke up and my jaw was raw. She goes, I did the swab last night. The report comes back and she goes, what's this Richardson family in here? I don't know how we're related, but we're related. So when the transition to practice fellowship was announced several years ago, I was sitting and I believe that academic departments should be involved in all facets of training. So I sent an email to my chairman at the time. I said, what do you think about us establishing a transition to practice fellowship? And about 2 weeks later, I realized it probably wasn't a good idea to send it to him because he didn't respond. A year later, we're sitting at a kitchen cabinet meeting one spring day, and he says, what do you guys think about us and gals think about getting started in a transition to practice? I said, actually, the seed was planted and it germinated. And so we moved forward. After that, we had a phone call with Dr. Richardson, and by July of 2015, we are accredited as a transition to practice fellowship. And the way we structured ours was we are very protective of our general surgery residence training at the mothership at the Loyola University Hospital. So we said, we're going to make it a 2/8 appointment at the VA, which is 10 hours a week, which translates into about $58,000 a year. So the principal salary support came from the VA. Most of you that have trained in a VA understand there's no pressure for RVUs. You can take your time. And the quality is actually scrutinized, I think, somewhat better than other institutions. And then to get the flavor of a private practice. I mentioned Gottlieb Hospital. Gottlieb was bought by Loyola about 8-10 years ago and is owned by Loyola University Medical Center. So it's Gottlieb Memorial Loyola Hospital. And after we bought it, in about 3 or 4 years, one of the busy general surgeons there, Mike DeHaan, you can see his picture here, he was actually joined the faculty as a full-time faculty member. And I think that was a win-win for him, and it was a win-win for us because we started sending residents there to get a community-based general surgery practice. So for the transition to practice fellow, they go over there equal time. That means they have to be credentialed at Loyola, and the other presenters that mentioned the credentialing, this is a fellow, this is a trainee, it creates all kind of angst. It's a new provider. That's the phrase we've used. It's just a new faculty member coming on board. They're gonna be working at Gottlieb. What we didn't anticipate was the problem it would generate with RVUs. Because we are a RVU-based compensation plan, when our first fellow was doing cases, the RVUs were going to them and they were eroding into Mike DeHaan's target. We've subsequently figured that out and made it streamlined so that Mike's getting his paycheck without any questions. I do want to talk about the characteristics of the applicants. I think we're still, Raquel, correct me, I think we're still the only program in Chicago out of the five academic medical centers, which I think is actually a benefit for us, because a lot of folks, as they're finishing, are looking at fellowships. Chicago is a kind of nice town for young folks to come to, enjoy life and so forth. But the type of folks that have been attracted to the, quote, TTP, I think will go away with the change in the name to Mastery in General Surgery, because the majority of the applicants, and we get six or seven folks interested a year, the majority are finishing the general surgery, and they're exactly what the goal of the TTP fellowship is. Somebody to transition that super chief year, those of us that are old enough to remember the super chief year, and then ease that transition into the private practice. But I've gotten calls from some, there was a young lady that finished her general surgery, wanted to go do research for a couple years and view this as a re-entry. There was one poor gentleman, these stories are really sad and they break your heart. A young man that was practicing for a couple years, had some charges raised, and actually served time in prison, viewed this as a way to, quote, clean his record a little bit or cleanse it a little bit. And then there's others that go into administration and so forth. And to Dr., everybody's spoken about the folks that go out into practice initially and have bad outcomes. And I've gotten calls from some of those folks that are looking at this as a reentry. I've tried to stay true to the form of the intent of the fellowship. And I just have a 15-minute phone call with them. I said, I don't know if this is the right place for you. I don't think it matches with the goals of our program. And we've still been able to attract pretty good folks. Briefly, I'll describe the practice at the Hines. It's 10 hours a week. You're viewed as a part-time general surgeon. A majority of my surgeons at the Hines are part-time providers. I expect them to attend our Tuesday pre-op conference for general surgery. Our residents view that as one of their better educational sessions. We view all the cases coming up. We talk about the disease, the best operation, the anesthetic management. They do attend our Tuesday general surgery clinic, and the way we structure that, if you see a patient, that's your patient, you take ownership of them, you work with our mid-levels, you schedule their case, and then we work around how they integrate into the OR. So initially, myself and Jeff Silver, who's our chief of general surgery section, we will scrub the first couple cases just to get a sense of their skill set and where they need to be entered into the program. And then I expect them to be treated just like any other general surgeon on staff there. They go to the OR, they will use a junior resident to first assist them. And as the year goes on, they then transition to actually being a faculty member and taking the other residents through the cases. They do take call 4 to 5 nights a month, and I expect them to attend our monthly M&M. At Gottlieb, this is again with Mike DeHaan, and it's purely a private practice model. It's one clinic per day per week. It's split with Mike. They have block time in the OR, which the fellow has access to in addition to Mike. The call's a little bit lighter, two nights, the weekend call is lighter, but the weekday call is a little bit more rigorous. And they function there as a primary surgeon or an assistant. So initially, Mike will get a sense of their skill set. He'll either have them assist him initially and then transition to them being the surgeon, or they will start out going right to being the surgeon. Mike's a very seasoned private practice surgeon. What I hear from our residents, he's pretty comfortable with just about anything, sitting in the corner, waiting. And if you start to go down the wrong road, he'll interject to get you back on track. So as I said, we were accredited in 2015, so we had our first fellow in 2016, the 17 academic year, Nate Roberts. He came from a community program in the upper peninsula of Michigan. He wanted to go back into a rural practice. Nate was not the traditional general surgery resident. He was about 40 when he finished his general surgery training, and he was a very savvy young man. He recognized that he did not have the complete confidence that he felt he would be comfortable practicing in a rural setting on his own. So he came, he did 350 cases, started in August, Labor Day weekend. A gentleman came into the ER at the VA with an obstructing rectosigmoid cancer. He and the chief resident took the patient to the OR, did a Hartman's, the patient did fine. That sentinel case was a huge booster in his confidence in moving forward. In the spring, he had 4 job offers, all in rural settings. One was in Georgia, 2 were in Tennessee, and 1 was in Southwest Ohio. His wife's family was from Southwest Ohio, so he went there. And as I speak to him, he is practicing a vigorous practice. The reason he can't be here participating in this panel is because he's busy clinically. 17 to 18, I had an interesting experience. I selected a young lady from on the East Shore, East Coast, who, coming to Illinois, it takes about 6 months to get through the state licensing process. And so we selected her in February. In July, August, still didn't have her license. Getting into September, well, I'm working on it. Long and short of it, in December, I had to tell her, listen, I think we need to just terminate this relationship because there's no way we can give you the training in 6 months. Come to find out later that she was actually working on another opportunity that she didn't share with me. And that's okay, but I learned a lot from that experience. Corey Seelbach is our current fellow, and you can see her case log for 2.5 months here. Personally, I think this is very representative of general surgery practice in the community. We do have the opportunity, as has been mentioned, endoscopy. At Gottlieb, we have our MIS surgeon who has an endoscopic day once or twice a week, and they are allowed to participate in that. So in summary, I think the fellows achieved the goals of autonomy and confidence during this 1 year fellowship. It's a structured environment that mimics private practice, can be created in an academic department of surgery, and the Mastery of General Surgery Fellowship, in my opinion, is valued by future employers. Thank you for your attention.
Thank
I look forward
you
to your
much,
questions.
Frank. We're not, we have to, I think, formally finish now, I believe, to stay on time. So what I'm gonna ask to do is if we could just congregate up front, and if you had questions or comments or things that you wanna do, I just wanna make one final comment, and that's on the reentry pathway. America has a huge problem. If we had a mechanism, and I have no idea how you could possibly do this, frankly, to reenter people, it would be good. I have a collection of things and people I talk to. I get phone calls weekly. I've never had anybody come out of prison yet, but I've had everything else. Women who've had children, who 7 years out, and all of a sudden, you know, their kids are in school and they want to go back to work. It's a terrible problem. And if you're away from surgery for a year or so, it's hard. And so that's something we have as a problem, but I just discourage that. I mean, that's up to individual institutions. They want to do it, that's up to them. But I don't encourage, I mean, tell people, say, you know, you're welcome to apply. I don't think you're going to have much luck, frankly. And so I think what we really want is what you suggested, Fred. I mean, I think, because that's really the way to make it work. Dr. Carmani, who I threw under the bus by saying he needed us when he came, is here. And Reza, if you would maybe also join people and tell them about your experiences if they have individual things. But we need to formally finish. Thank you all for coming, and thank everybody for the presentation.